Luke 11, and he was teaching them how to pray his way. And that is to be confident in God the Father hearing and responding to us, to our prayers, with his best. And Jesus actually says that the Father's best is the Holy Spirit. And today I want to talk about what it means to receive the Holy Spirit in response to prayer. That is, how do we pray for the Holy Spirit? What does that mean for us to pray for God's best to us, and that best being the Holy Spirit? I know there's probably a certain amount of vagueness or uncertainty about what that means, partly because the Holy Spirit by nature, and especially in contrast to Jesus, is invisible. Well, I guess Jesus is invisible now, but for a while he wasn't. And the Holy Spirit is always invisible, so just by nature of being invisible, it's a little mysterious. But the Bible talks very plainly about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be looking at this passage in Acts, and Acts is a second part of Luke's history of Jesus and the church. So this is the sequel, if you will, to the Gospel of Luke. So we're looking at the book of Acts, and this is a story of the early church. Now, we're going to be looking at a passage in Acts chapter 4, but it starts in Acts 2, this kind of sequence of events. And what happens is the Holy Spirit comes on the earliest followers of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit falls on them in a very particular way, with a sound, and it sounds like the blowing of a violent wind. If you've been in a windstorm. So that's what it sounds like when the Holy Spirit comes. And also there's a visual element. It says in the text that it looks like tongues of fire. And I don't know what that means, but tongues of fire. And then the people there start praising God in languages they don't know. And then Peter explains what's happening. And he says, these are the last days that God promised us. And he preaches this message. He says, this is what happened. Jesus was crucified for us. And Jesus is the one that we've been waiting for. And now Jesus has poured out his Spirit, just like he promised a long time ago. And so he preaches this. And then after this, he is healing. Actually, he heals a cripple, someone who is crippled from birth, a man who is crippled from birth. He heals him. He's actually able to get up and move around, jump around. So it says that his feet and ankles were strengthened. And so, again, there's a lot of details left out. So I'm kind of curious, like, because it says that he was over 40 and he was crippled at birth. And so I guess, did he have, like, just basically atrophied muscles, like, in his calf, and because he's not used to walking? Did they suddenly, like, burst, like the Hulk? I don't know. I guess I like to think it did. But however it happened, he jumps to his feet. He's praising God, but then it brings the disciples who did this in trouble with the powers that be, the Jewish leadership in Jerusalem. They say, hey, how'd you do this? Did you do this by the power of God or Satan? They said, we did this by the power of Jesus, who you crucified, but God has raised from the dead. They say, we don't like that. We crucified Jesus for a reason. And they said, well, we can't really deny this miracle has happened. And actually, Luke says something kind of funny. It could be either funny or depressing, depending on your perspective. In 4:22, they couldn't deny what happened because the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Like, surely this was a miracle because it's over 40. Anyway, yeah, I just turned 40 sort of recently. And, it's like, oh, man, indeed, that's a miracle. Anyway, so they say, well, we can't deny it, but you guys need to stop talking about Jesus. Stop talking about Jesus. And Jesus' disciples, this is Peter and John specifically, they come back to their people, and this is where we pick it up in chapter 4, verse 23. When they were released, they were put in custody, they were like in some kind of holding cell or prison overnight, and then they were kind of tried, or they were put before a council in the morning. Then after this, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Verse 24, and when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord. So this is a prayer. This is what they do. In response to this pressure that they're feeling, they pray to God. And interestingly, this is the only corporate prayer that is actually quoted in the New Testament. I mean, the rest of the New Testament talks about prayer and says, pray for this, pray for that. But an actual like quotation of a prayer that a group of Christians actually pray, well, there's actually two. There's another one in Acts, it's like two verses. This is the only other one, it's a little bit longer. So this is what they say. Sovereign Lord, and the Greek word there is despotes, which is where we get the word despot and despotic from. It doesn't have a negative connotations in the Greek. It's just simply someone who has legal authority or legal control over other people. And he says, or they say, Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. That is, because you created everything, you have authority over everything. You have power and control over everything. Who through the mouth of our Father, your servant, said, by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. That is, the church is saying, the Holy Spirit spoke. The Holy Spirit spoke to David. The Holy Spirit spoke to David, and then David gave these words to us. And we had the words of God's Holy Spirit. God's Spirit actually speaks. God's Spirit actually speaks. And he speaks words, and these words, many of these words, are recorded in the Scripture. And so we can say the Bible is like contains David's words, the Bible contains Luke's words, but ultimately these are the words of the Holy Spirit. These are the words of the Holy Spirit. This quotation comes from Psalm 2. Why did the nations of the Gentiles rage? And these church people, these early Christians, are saying, 1,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to David and spoke to us, foretelling all these things that were going to happen to Jesus and to us. The Holy Spirit spoke these things. We know, God, you're in control because your Spirit told us all this stuff. And we're not going to feel that pressure the same way because we know this is all under your control. You knew this was going to happen 1,000 years ago, and you actually told us. Your Spirit actually told us this. So first thing that I want to say about praying for the Holy Spirit, if you want to receive God's best, receive the Holy Spirit, if you want to sort of pray for the Holy Spirit, one thing that's very practical and concrete for us to do is to read the Scripture. Because when we read and take in the Scripture, we're not just taking in just ancient literature or just very pithy kind of teaching. What we're receiving are the Holy Spirit's words. You want the Holy Spirit to talk to you? He does talk to you, and we have them written down. Okay? He talks in other ways as well, but he for sure talks in the Scripture. So, we continue in this prayer. Verse 29, the church says, Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hands to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And this concludes their prayer. And then there's a little coda given by Luke. And verse 31 says, And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And I think that's like literal. It's not just, whoa, man, that was exhilarating. It was, I think, a literal shaking. Because as Christians, you're saying, like, well, that's sort of miraculous. And yeah, as Christians, we believe in miracles. Amen? Yeah, we do. Yeah. I guess if you're a Christian and you say you're a Christian and you don't believe in miracles, then I don't think you're using that word right, like Christian. I don't think Christian means what you think it means, because at the very heart of things, even if you don't believe in certain miracles that people claim, there's one miracle that you for sure believe in, and that's the miracle of Jesus' resurrection. And that's a literal resurrection. It's not like a metaphor. It's a literal resurrection. And that's a miracle that doesn't happen. It's not like just like the birth of a baby, which is, you know, sort of miraculous. Like, oh, it's a miracle of human life. No, like not a metaphor like that. No, it's actually someone was dead and they came back to life, a literal miracle. It's not going to be like on a poster, like an inspirational poster, like teamwork, like resurrection. You know? It's like a real thing. And so we're praying for, this church is praying for miracles, signs and wonders, healing, and their meeting place is actually shaken. And then it continues, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And this is the thing. Luke says that the response to their prayer was God filling them with the Holy Spirit. But then when you look at their prayer, it doesn't actually say that the church said, Lord, give us your Holy Spirit. The church didn't actually pray that, or at least as Luke recorded it. What the church prays for, according to Luke, is that they would be able to speak the word about Jesus with boldness, that is, not with shame and not with anxiety and not sort of shrinking back, but being able to speak about Jesus clearly and plainly. They prayed that God would heal people. They prayed that God would do like powerful things, even miracles. And God's response to these prayers is to give the Holy Spirit to them, to fill them with the Holy Spirit. So the thing is, praying for the Holy Spirit doesn't only mean saying, give us more of your Spirit. It can, but praying for speaking boldly about Jesus, praying for healing, praying for miracles, all those things are tantamount to praying for the Holy Spirit. This is because these are the kinds of things that the Spirit loves and does. Amen. All right. I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 is the first volume of Luke's histories. And in Luke chapter 4, we see Jesus coming to a synagogue, and he's invited to read Scripture and actually speak about, like, give a little sermon on the Scripture. And he reads from the prophet Isaiah, and I'm reading from verse 4, from verse 4:18. Jesus says, reading from Isaiah, the words of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he rolls up the scroll, and then everyone's looking at him, and he says, today these words are fulfilled in your hearing. That is, the Spirit was talking about me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and this is what I'm going to do. And this statement is basically Jesus' mission statement. Do you guys have like a personal mission statement? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, all right. I don't either. Anyway, but I guess if Jesus had a personal mission statement, this is what it would be. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? What's our agenda? What's our mission? What are our purposes? It's to preach good news to the poor. It's to heal blind people. It's to free people. The Spirit is on Jesus for these things, for preaching good news to the poor, for freeing people, for healing people. The Spirit's mission, and this is Jesus' mission too, because Jesus and the Spirit are completely and perfectly one together. The Spirit's mission is to reconcile people to God. The Spirit's mission is to bring healing to people, to relationships, and to communities. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. This is what the Holy Spirit is about. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus, they're in perfect unity because they want the same things. And in Acts 4, we see the church praying the same kind of thing. Lord, that is our agenda as well. That's what we want. Lord, heal people. Lord, let us speak your word so that people can be reconciled to you. Do miracles. Let your work be done among us. And the response to that prayer from God is to fill them with the Holy Spirit. So I just have a very brief takeaway from this story. And that takeaway is, just like Jesus told us when our first kind of brothers, his first disciples asked him, Jesus, teach us how to pray your way. Jesus' answer to that was, pray with confidence. God is a father to you, a good father to you. And he'll give you good things. He'll give you his best. He won't give you like terrible things in response to your prayer. He's going to give you his best because he's a much better father than you guys are. And he will give his best. He will give good gifts. And you know what? The best gift he can give to us is the Holy Spirit. That's the best thing he gives to us. That is, when you ask God the Father, God, what is your best? What do you want in my life more than anything? What is going to satisfy my life? What is going to give me a beautiful life? What is going to make my life full and whole? More than anything, God would say, because this is what Jesus said, I will give you the Holy Spirit and generously. I will give you the Holy Spirit and generously. So my brief takeaway is just to simply encourage you to pray to God our Father for these kinds of things and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's really straightforward. You pray for these things. You pray for the good things that God wants to do among us, and God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. That's kind of how it's laid out in these stories. I know we're not holding our weekly prayer meetings on Tuesday nights during the summer, but I want to encourage you to just keep praying on your own and keep praying when you see each other. I saw a couple in our church. I won't name them. I saw a couple in our church praying at a McDonald's recently, like on a Sunday morning. I was on my way to Arlington, and then I stopped at a McDonald's, and I had to go in because it didn't have a drive-thru. And when I was about to walk in through the glass, I saw this couple, and they were praying together. I'm like, oh, that's really nice. They're praying. Maybe they're just thanking God for their food before they eat. So I'll just say hi to them later. So kept walking. I order. Or when I'm in line, I look back to say, because I want to say hi. I'm like, oh, they're still praying. I don't want to interrupt them. So I order. And after I order, I look back again. They're still praying. And then I'm waiting for the food to come out. I get my food, look back. They're still praying. And then I just go get some napkins, you know, trying to stall. And then finally, as I'm about to leave, on my way out, they stop. And then I said, oh, hey, guys, you know, how you doing? But that was like, that was so sweet to me. You know, that's what we do. You know, I encourage you guys, just like pray together. Pray when you see each other. And what we're saying is, like, we're praying, and God's response is to give us the Holy Spirit. And God's not, like, squeamish. God is not miserly with the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus taught us about our Father. He's not miserly, and especially not miserly with his Holy Spirit. He wants to give us that generously and abundantly. God is wanting to speak to people. God is wanting to heal people today among us, among people we know, and use us to do it. He wants to bring people who are far from him close to him. Some of you have had that happen to yourself somewhat recently, just beginning to respond to Christ's death and resurrection, maybe even in the past year. And I praise God for things that God is doing among us. And I attribute these things to the Holy Spirit. I praise God for pregnancy that we prayed for. I praise God for marriages that have been repaired. I praise God for like big decisions people have made because of their faith in Christ. I just want to mention again, there's another beautiful couple who are not yet married. And again, I won't name them. And, they've recently made decisions for Christ. They've recently been following Christ and making a serious commitment to knowing the Lord. And you know, they just made a recent decision because they had been living together to separate until they get married. And I know this is not the most convenient thing. I know this is not the most like financially prudent thing. But they're doing this because they see the good that God can do through this decision to follow Christ and to honor him. That's beautiful. It's beautiful. And these are things that God is doing among us. And these are things that God, the Spirit, loves to do. And partly he just does these things. But partly he does these things in sort of a dance with us. As we seek him. As we pray, he responds. You know, I guess you could get into a theological question like, well, if nobody prayed, would God still do things? Like, I think so. But I mean, it's a hypothetical anyway. It doesn't matter. In real life, God says he actually responds to prayer. And God gives and fills us with the Holy Spirit in response to our prayers. And so I encourage you, just pray. These aren't things that just happen. These are things that the Holy Spirit does. He wants us to be a part of these things. He wants to experience this beauty and goodness. I'm not just in this auditorium, like when we're singing, but in life, with people we hang out with, people we work with. You know, in college, I fell in love with prayer. I was part of a Christian group that had a nightly prayer meeting. And I often couldn't wait. I was just like such a geek, like a prayer geek. I couldn't wait till it was time for that prayer meeting because it was sweet, like being there. But the big thing was it made life, the rest of life, so exciting. When I prayed, I felt like God was just showing me or showing us what he wanted to do. And that's what we prayed for. And then we saw it happen. You know, that was sort of my understanding of Christian ministry. Like we pray, God shows us things to pray for and what he wants to do. We say, yes, Lord, do those things. And then we see it happen. And then we go back and kind of repeat, rinse and repeat, you know. And that prayer made me expectant, you know, because every day it was like, who am I going to talk to about Jesus? What stories about God am I going to hear today? Who is God going to bring close to him? Because that's what was happening. And I didn't necessarily feel like electricity or tingles, like as I'm praying, like, ooh, you know, like I feel like the Holy Spirit, like, you know. All right, sometimes I did. But you know, most times I didn't. But doesn't matter. The proof is in the pudding. When we're talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit, I don't care like whether you feel tingles, whether you feel like strange warmth all over your body. I don't care if you have like crazy things happen to you, like you're just like weeping uncontrollably or you're falling down. Like sometimes you see, maybe you've experienced this yourself. I mean, those are fine, but they don't really say much one way or the other. Like, is that genuinely the work of the Holy Spirit? Like, maybe, but it's not like we can say, well, all right, at a certain temperature, that's the Holy Spirit. You know, that's not how it works. What we look at is the results. And the results of these prayer meetings was that I love Jesus. I love the Bible. And seeing like explanations for what I was experiencing. I was talking about Christ boldly. I was praying for people. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And before I close, I just want to address some of us who might be thinking, you know, this isn't really for me, though. Because when you talk about the Holy Spirit, I don't know. And it might be because you think the Spirit, when we talk about the Spirit, it sounds mystical, and you're not a mystic. And I don't think that makes a difference. It doesn't make a difference. The goal of the Holy Spirit, the MO of the Holy Spirit, isn't necessarily a mystical experience. The ultimate goal of the Holy Spirit is to make us one with God, to bring his concrete works into our communities more and more. That's what the Spirit is about. Amen? I mean, sometimes you'll have a mystical experience, but sometimes you won't. That's not the point. And it's like, well, I'm pretty practical. Like, I'm like pretty modern. You know, I like science. I like proofs and scientific method. But God bless you. God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. You know, you're into poetry. You cry easily. You know, God bless you. God wants to give you his Holy Spirit generously. You know, that stuff doesn't matter. the Holy Spirit isn't for a particular subgroup of Christians. He's for all of us. There are some people who say, oh, you know, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that means you have to pray and speak in tongues. And that's not biblical. We can have another set of teaching about this. I mean, tongues, I believe in tongues, but if you don't have tongues, I don't think it matters too much. God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and sometimes that will manifest in different ways. But God wants to fill all of us with the Holy Spirit. And maybe you just simply don't feel like you have an appetite for all this stuff. Maybe it's like foreign to you, you're sort of new to this, or it's just, you know, it's like, I'm no missionary, I'm no like super Christian. And or maybe it's just, you know, it's foreign to me these days. I'm sort of in a rut, and I'm sort of resigned to stay in this rut. And this is a word, Acts chapter 4, this is a word for you too. Pray to the Father for His beautiful things, and He will give His Spirit generously. It's not about who you are. It's not about where you've been. It's not about your particular circumstances or your particular momentum right now in life. It's about God. And it's about God the Father's incredible and generous desire to fill us with the Holy Spirit and to bring us into beautiful and good things, to do beautiful and good things around us. He loves to do that. And He wants us to long for that and receive very simply from Him. I'd encourage you, right, it's the 4th of July weekend. We have, I'm sure many of you have some extra time on your hands. I encourage you guys to use this time to pray. I encourage you, you know, listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, read through the book of Acts. It's 28 chapters. It'll go like that. It's exciting, too. You know, it doesn't like bog down with like a list of names. You know, it's just like, oh, this is craziness, really? You know, you can get through 28 chapters real fast. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Pray. Take some time. You know, it's the 4th is on Tuesday, right? Yeah, we have like a few days. Some of you guys are off on Wednesday as well. Take some time. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just good for you. God wants to give you an abundance of His Spirit. That's what Jesus is teaching us about prayer. God the Father wants to give us good things abundantly, and that's the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. I'd like to just invite you to pray now and thank God for the words that His Spirit speaks, the stories, explanation, the poems in the Bible. Let's ask God our Father for more of the Holy Spirit. Let's ask for more talking about Jesus, for healing, for changed lives, for beautiful things that God loves to do. I'm just going to give you like a 30 seconds or so. Can you just pray something like that? God, I want to see these things in my life. I want to see change in lives. I want to see people healed. I want to see things happening in my life and people around me. I want to see beautiful things that You're doing. I want to hear You speaking through the Scripture. I want to see You speaking to people. Let me be a part of that. Fill my life with that, Lord. Father, fill my life with these good things. I'm Your child. I just want to keep praying, and I'm going to ask you guys just to pray not just for yourselves, but for one another. And you, let's just pray for other people around you. Let's pray for other people that you know, especially in our church. And just pray the same kind of thing on their behalf. Thank God for His Spirit's words to them. Pray for the work of the Spirit in their lives. Pray for God's filling of the Spirit for them. And this is the way that we're showing love to one another. This is the way we're expressing love for one another. Praying for these things from our Father. We're going to continue to pray, and we're going to continue to pray by taking communion. Now, communion is a form of prayer, actually. It's a form of prayer where we pray by chewing and drinking, actually. And what we're saying is, as we chew and as we drink and swallow, we're praying, we believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we believe he died. We believe he rose. We believe he did this so that we could be near you and near you confidently, sharing your heart, sharing your vision, sharing your purpose, receiving your Spirit, whom you give to us generously and abundantly. And as we eat and drink, fill us with your Holy Spirit. As we eat and drink, fill us with your Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask our elders and deacons to come up and help distribute this. And so this is what communion is all about. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, Jesus was eating with his disciples. And after giving thanks, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And Jesus took the cup. And he said to his disciples, "This is the cup of my blood poured out for you, for the forgiveness of sins. And when you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." So as we come to the table, we're praying. We're saying, "Jesus, I believe in your death and resurrection. Father, I believe in your Son. I believe that I participate with Jesus and his life with you. And Father God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with yourself, even as we take this communion." What we're going to do is we're just actually going to sing. We're going to pray. And then as we're singing these songs of worship, the ushers will come forward, and they'll be on either center aisle. And they'll just call us up row by row. And so we won't have like a really big line in these aisles. So, it'll just be a handful of people in at the front of either aisle. So just wait for the ushers to come to your row and call you down. We'll have two stations, one on each side.